Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of 2 Timothy chapter 2, we were taught that a Christian should see himself as a soldier of God. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
These are things that all become holiness. By the way, there are those that teach today, well, if a husband does not love his wife, the Bible does not teach her that she has to be submitted, because I can't find it anywhere in the Bible that says that. Well, what if you turn that around and says, well, I don't see a command for a husband to love his wife if she doesn't submit herself to him. It doesn't say, thou shalt love thy wife even if she is not submitted. Okay, so though that is very ignorant, and that is usually born out of self-made psychologists or those who call themselves Christian psychologists who would not know sound Bible doctrine if it slapped them in the face 45 times. And so, again, understand, 1 Peter 3 says that wives are to have a meek and quiet spirit before a husband that's the hard husband, that's the bad husband. That he might be won by your lifestyle, by the way you live, and by your obedience. Then it goes on and says, young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded. So, really, if you're a church member, just see your requirements from God. It's not necessarily just from the pastor. This is from God. The pastor is to tell you this, but these requirements are from God. Titus is also a pastoral epistle. Christianity is perpetrated and perpetuated from age to age through a careful teaching ministry carried on by and through the local church, pastor to teachers to others in the family of God. We find that the ones who are taught are to do something when they are taught. They're to share it with others. We're told of the Spurgeon Tabernacle that grew so much and was so full when Spurgeon was the pastor there of it in London, England, back in the 1800s. We're told the members of the church would the next day go to their jobs or in their community if it was a wife and she didn't have a job and she was just there in the community, go to their neighbors. And they wouldn't brag about Spurgeon, but rather they would tell what he preached that day and be excited about it. And it'd show them what was said in the sermon and how it comes from the Word of God. And people started getting saved and coming to the church. They wanted to hear these things for themselves. And that is somebody, those were a bunch of somebodies that were just carrying out Titus chapter 2, verses 2 through 6. Well, these first two verses show us a son. But now we need to see that the son is a soldier in verses 3 and 4. So let's look at those. He says there, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So now we're looking at this as a soldier. He says, therefore, do this, and it will bring hardness. Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier. See, the stronger one grows in love for God, he will serve him. He'll be obedient to the word. but it will make the enemies of righteousness much more angry. You can simply count on that to be true. Endure hardness. Now, that is defined as to suffer from evil, to suffer evil or affliction, to bear up in affliction. And in the manner in which it is written, again, it is an imperative command, meaning, Pastor, you will give an account. Did you endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? It's fighting illness. Don't let that little headache keep you at home. Oh, you've got a back that's really hurting. You've got a sprained ankle or you got something. Listen, keep going, keep going, keep going. Satan attacks the mind with depression, dejection, and self-pity. You're in a war if you're going to stand for him. I like what the late Henry Morse said about this endure hardness. He said endure hardness is one word in Greek translated suffer trouble and endure affliction. 2 Timothy 2:9 and chapter 4 verse 5 shows us that a fruitful Christian life inevitably is accompanied by much opposition from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And may I add to what he said? Hardness does come if you live as you ought to for the Lord Jesus Christ. Although, even in total commitment to him, with all the great hardness and all the great trials, you will still find his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Now, if I, as a believer, am truly serving the Lord, then I will certainly be called upon to endure hardness. At times, that hardness comes from family. Other times, from church members. And still other times, the world. Remember back in chapter 1, verse 15, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are the jealous and Hermogenes. He said they all turned their back on him. He had to stand alone. Now, that was true in the Old Testament with those prophets. It's true in the New Testament. Let me just share this with you from Jeremiah. This might seem like I'm going down a rabbit trail, but I think it's important we go down this trail because it illustrates the truth of our text. But in Jeremiah 26, verses 1 and 2, it says, in the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee, to speak unto them. Diminish not a word. Now God said, for the sins of Manasseh, that he would destroy Jerusalem and send them into captivity. However, just before his death, Manasseh repented, and God gave them more time. His son, Manasseh's son, Josiah, became one of the most godly kings of Judah. And although God could have destroyed it then, he put it off and would not do it while Josiah was king. However, he let him know that he would destroy Judah, but not during Josiah's reign because of his righteousness and the way he pursued God with all of his heart. Now, Manasseh's repentance, Josiah's father, was such that the old images are torn down and the temple is restored. Josiah goes throughout the country and destroys the altars and and the images, and he begins to have the temple restored and built up. Jeremiah preached during Josiah's reign and to the kings who followed Josiah, who were evil kings. The rest of them until the captivity were evil. Verse 2 states there in Jeremiah chapter 26, listen to this. It's very clear. He says, diminish not a word. When God's judgment is about to fall and the preacher is told to speak and not diminish a word, he better do it. But think of that. Jeremiah chapter 26, when he's told that, is after what has happened in chapter 20. Listen as I read some words from Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 7 through 10, and I'm going to skip around those few verses. He says, O Lord, I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil. Because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many and fear on every side. Now in verses 2 and 3 of this 26th chapter of Jeremiah, we see that Jeremiah is struck by the religious leader. He's placed in stocks. In chapters 37, 38, he's placed in a dungeon and sinks in the mire, all for preaching the truth. In Jeremiah 26, 8, Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him unto all the people. Priests and prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. Death threats came from those he warned of God's judgment, and those he warned were God's people. Isaiah 58:1, God instructs, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and their sin. You see, a true man of God will name sin and call people to repent, and will not allow threats, castigation, an attack to keep him from the call if he is a true man of God. America needs these kind of preachers. You're a preacher out there listening today? Speak the truth in love, preaching it as it is to men as they are, but be sure to endure the hardness that will result, because it will come. We must ever, ever, ever be on guard.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.